Hello and greetings. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this sacred conversation. I am Abiola Abrams, and this is the Secrets of the Ancestors Oracle Virtual Retreat. We are celebrating the launch of my newest deck, Secrets of the Ancestors. You can learn more and find free resources at secretsoftheancestors.com. And I have taken full advantage of this launch to say I would like to connect with some of my most magical friends and associates who I usually don't get to connect with for purely selfish purposes. But I'm also sharing the conversations with you. And so today we're talking with Jamila Yimunya, who is one of the most incredible and powerful spirit communicators and aligned goddesses who is doing this work right now. Welcome, my beautiful sister.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here and to reconnect with you and also celebrate your launch with you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, goddess. So I would love to begin with, let's begin at the beginning. So who were you before you were this Hay House best-selling author phenom? You know, who were you at the beginning?
Wow, at the beginning. So let's start at the beginning. So I was actually born in Colombia in South America. And then I was adopted by my parents, who are Dutch. But I grew up in Germany, where they lived at the time. And this is important because that's how my journey got started. Because when I was in my mid-20s, I was running a completely different thing. I was teaching artists how to sell their art online. But then I had this experience that I wanted to know more about my ancestors, my Colombian ancestors. And so I started thinking about this, and my journey really was not about that much about knowing who they specifically are, my birth parents, but more like where did they come from and the spiritual traditions that they came from. I wanted to connect with my ancestors on a spiritual level. I don't even know why I thought that or wanted that. I wasn't that spiritual at the time, didn't know anything about spirituality, but that's what my soul wanted. So I started looking into like my ancestry. I knew that I'm partially indigenous, what Americans would call Native Americans or First Nations in Canada. And so I did some research. I found out that on my mother's side, I'm probably Embera, which is an indigenous community in Colombia. And I looked into their spirituality and found out like about shamanism. And I started reading a little bit about shamanism. And then when that was like maybe 2 weeks into like this journey, when I woke up in the middle of the night and my eyes opened and there was like a guy standing in my bedroom in the doorway in full physical form. And I again knew this isn't like someone who had just broken into my house. I don't know why I knew it. I just knew it. And I wasn't scared, but I was just staring at him because obviously it's a bit weird that there's someone standing. And so he was just wearing jeans, no shirt, no socks, no shoes. And he looked South American, indigenous South American. So I stared at him and I realized that I couldn't move my body. Nowadays, I know that's called sleep paralysis. At the time, I didn't know that. But so then he out of nowhere had like this red glowing orb and he threw it over to me. And I still remember how it like felt when it like landed on the bed. And the so next thing I
threw it and it landed on the bed.
And then the next thing I know is like I must have passed out because the next morning I wake up and my eyes are not even open. My brain is not complete, really working yet, but my hand immediately started searching for that red glowing orb. And then I couldn't find it. And then my brain started working and I was like, oh my God, what was that? What happened? This is so weird. And I couldn't find it. I called my friend, told her about it, and we talked about it a little bit because we started this spiritual journey together. And now the really interesting part is that we had already signed up for a workshop about shamanism. We had signed up before for the workshop before I had this experience. So we go to the workshop. This was 4 or 5 days after this experience, we go to the workshop.
Where was and, the workshop? Was workshop in Colombia or it was in, it was?
No, this was in Germany, in Berlin. I was living in Germany at the time. And this was about shamanism. And the guy, the workshop leader, the first thing he taught us was like how to connect with your spirit guides. I was like, okay, sounds good. He explains how he does it. And they did it in the way of the Foundation of Shamanic Studies, Michael Harner, that that tradition. But anyway, so he explained like, this is how we do it. And then when you meet your spirit guide for the first time, what usually happens is they give you energy, either by hugging you and you feel their energy go into your body, or sometimes they will give you energy in form of like a red, like ball or orb. And I was like, oh my God, that, so this guy was my spirit guide. Now I understand what this was. And that was the beginning of my journey into this whole world of spirit guides.
Oh, how magical. And what a direct and powerful initiation. You know, yes, like how magnificent. It's almost as if, well, it is as if once you said yes to the workshop, you had already opened the portal by your, you know, the saying that what we are seeking is seeking us, by your wanting and your questioning and even saying, you know, wow, I wonder a little bit more about my ancestors. You opened the portal. Were you a visual artist before? You had mentioned that you were teaching artists
how
to make money online. Yeah. So you already were, because I believe that artists are channelers of, you know, even though if whether they're aware of it or not, they are already channeling source and spirit, you know, spiritual energy for their creations. Was your art purposefully spiritual or no?
It wasn't at the time. And it's interesting that you say that, because nowadays when I look back at like my time as an artist, it was really getting ready for what I do now. It was like learning to channel. So I never, like, my art was never like, I want to go and paint a house. No, I just started painting and I just let my intuition guide me. That was always how it worked. And I had some interesting experiences with my art as well. For example, I made an artwork and it was all like these little mandalas. And I had an exhibition and one visitor at the exhibition was from Sri Lanka and she saw it and she was like, oh my God, have you been to Sri Lanka? And I was like, no, never. And she said, these exact mandalas we put like on our doorsteps for like for a spiritual tradition. They have this day that's all about spirits. And then they put these mandalas on their doorsteps. And I was like, I had no idea, never heard about it. And so I was already channeling things, but I didn't know it. So yeah, it was, like I said, for me, my artist days were really getting me ready for what I'm doing now. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. And so after you now had taken this workshop and now you had this information and knew that your spirit guide was giving you this power in the form of this red orb, was this particular spirit guide an ancestor? And how and when did you reconnect, if at all, with this specific one?
So I never saw him again in full physical form, but I know that he was like kind of like the representative of my indigenous ancestors. I also have like African ancestors and European ancestors, but he was the one who like represents my indigenous ancestors. And so nowadays I don't connect with him. I connect with them more as a collective.
Okay. So I know that I want to share with people that her book is named The Seven Kinds of Spirit Guide. Can we go through the seven and just mention them so that we can have a basis for people who are watching?
So the seven types of spirit guide are, number one, ancestors. And I always recommend, actually, if you don't know who your spirit guide is, it's a good idea to always start with your ancestors. You can't go wrong, because your ancestors open the door to the spirit realm. They are the doorkeepers, the gatekeepers to the spiritual realm. And so that's also why it's very, very important to look at your own spiritual traditions, like your ancestral spiritual traditions. It's okay to go and look at others too, totally fine, but also don't forget your own ancestral connection and their spiritual traditions, because that is the easiest way for you to open the doors. So that is like your ancestors. And then, by the way, usually your main guide is not someone that you knew in this lifetime. So not like a parent that you knew, or like an aunt that you knew or something. It's usually someone who was already on the other side before you incarnated. So then number two is animal guides. And a lot of people that work with shamanism work with animal guides. And these are not the individual soul of one particular animal, like your pet that passed away. They can be around you as well. But your main guide is usually in the spirit of an entire species. So you would be working with bear spirit or dog spirit or snail spirit, not one particular dog or snail or bear. So then we have angels. Mm-hmm. Don't have to explain that much. Most people know what angels are. Then we have ascended masters. And these were once humans who lived on Earth. And they usually followed a spiritual tradition. Sometimes they did their own thing, but they were always like spiritual masters. And they reached what we would call enlightenment. And so they do not have to reincarnate anymore. And they're still helping us from the other side. What's important to know about Ascended Masters is that they do not just work with one person. They work with hundreds or even millions of people at the same time. It's kind of like a task force, if you will, that works together. So if you find someone who works with the same Ascended Master, there's no competition. You are basically sisters and brothers that are working together. And so it's like you should celebrate that, so that you meet one of them. Then we have nature spirits. And nature spirits are the souls or spirits of like the plants and the trees and the rocks and the mountains and all of the things in nature. And they are the ones that help us with manifesting, because they are the ones that actually create nature around us the way we perceive it. And so they can, if you want to manifest something, you want to make friends with nature spirits, because they can teach you how to do that. And then we have star beings, otherwise called aliens. I don't call them that because some people are a bit hung up on like scary Hollywood movies, and that's not what it's like. And star beings are from other star systems. We all come from the stars, or have been, in different incarnations in different places other than Earth. And so you have like the people that come from Sirius, Andromeda, Orion, et cetera, et cetera. And it's, you can tell sometimes if you know a little bit about this, because it's almost like people from different countries who have like their own culture, and you can recognize them by their culture and like by their personality. So that's very interesting as well. And then I'm forgetting one.
Let's see. I'm going to pull it up. Let's see. Okay.
No, I think I got them all. Deities. Deities, of course, deities. Gods and goddesses.
Gods and goddesses.
Yeah. So gods and goddesses. These are known all around the world. Every culture has gods and goddesses in some form. They are not humans. Or have never been humans. They're their own form, but they can have like personalities and characteristics. As we all know, if you look at Greek traditions, like gods and goddesses, or Roman or African traditions, the Orishas, etc., then you can see that they all have their own personalities. And they also work with groups of people, not just one. And again, that's like your brothers and sisters. If you meet them, that's an honor, like treat them well. And they help us a lot with empowerment. So really stepping into our power, finding our voice, influencing like groups of people. So a lot of like authors, speakers, CEOs, that kind of people work with gods and goddesses. And so, yeah, these are the seven types of spirit guide.
Thank you so much for breaking that down for us. I have to get for you, I have to get to you my this deck, the newest deck, because it has in it plant ancestors, as I call them, the nature spirits, the plant ancestors, and it also has animal spirits, as well as ascended masters and ancestors. Nice. And I think that you'll find it, yeah, you know, very much in alignment. And I appreciate you sharing your experience. So one of the things that has been coming up a lot in dealing with this deck, because it is an ancestral deck, is that people are looking to make contact specifically with their ancestors. And I know that that's where you started as well. How do you recommend that people make contact with and create and develop a relationship with their ancestors?
So first of all, you want to find out what type of spirit guide you have, one of the seven. Because if you know what type of guide you have, then it's much easier to connect, because humans throughout history and all around the globe have created traditions how they connect with these seven types of guides. So for example, nature spirits, it would make sense to go outside, right? To be in nature, to connect with them. Whereas ancestors, for example, really like to connect in the home, because that's where you live with your family. They like ancestor altars, for example, that gods and goddesses like to connect with groups of people. So having a ceremony with several people doesn't mean that you can't do it on your own. But so you can see that there's like different traditions. And so if you know what type of spirit guide you have, then you can figure out, okay, this is how humans have done it for hundreds or thousands of years. Maybe I can do something similar. It doesn't have to be the same. It doesn't have to be exactly like a certain spiritual tradition does it, but you can create your own ancestor altar, for example. And so that's one step that I would recommend. And then there's a specific meditation that I teach, which is that you really, first of all, you open up your crown chakra to the universe, and you connect with your root chakra to the earth, so that you are aligned with the universe and the earth. And then you focus on your third chakra, which is our power chakra. And then you let that power chakra like expand very much, like almost like so that it forms a cocoon around you, or like a space around you that's like your sacred space. And then you just sit for yourself. That's the first step, that you just sit with yourself in that sacred space and really get used to your own energy, because we don't do that. Like, we're constantly thinking about something else, constantly in the future, in the past, thinking about other people, et cetera, et cetera. So we have all that energy around us all the time. We don't even know what our own energy is like. And so if you just like create that sacred space by expanding your third chakra, and then just sit with yourself for 10 minutes a day, do that for at least a week so that you know your own energy. And then you invite your spirit guide to step into that space. And once you do that, because now you know what your own space feels like, you will feel the difference. You will feel when you ask your ancestors to come into your space, and you will feel it by what it's called a calling card. And that can take different forms. So for example, for me, I can get really hot suddenly, and that is for my sign that there is a spirit. Or I feel the air almost as if it gets electrified or thicker. That's another sign for me. Other people get like tingles down their spine, or they get like the opposite, they get really cold. That's different for everyone. So you have to experiment a little bit. And then you can start asking questions, and you can easily ask yes and no questions. That's what you need to do first. And you do that by asking very simple questions. Don't start with what's the purpose of my life or something like that, because then you're way too invested in that. What you want to start asking is, should I wear the yellow sweater today? And then you ask the guy, your guide, to answer in the sense of like stepping in and out of your space. So for example, you say, yes, wear the yellow sweater. If that's the answer, please step out of my space. If the answer is no, then stay in my space, or the other way around, experiment with it. And do that like really practice that, because there's nothing at stake. If I wear this or something else, doesn't matter. It's not going to change my life. And that's how you practice, because then you start to trust them. If you start with really big questions, you're just going to second guess yourself all the time, and that's not helpful. So start with simple questions, let them step in and out of your space, and then later on you can start asking more complicated questions, etc. And I teach it that way because, first of all, you need to learn to trust your own intuition and them. And second of all, just like you don't invite some random stranger from the street into your home, you also don't do that with like spirits, because there are a lot of nice spirits, but there are also spirits that maybe not have your best interests at heart. And so you want to take your time to get to know them, ask them simple questions, see how they react. If they give you bad advice and you realize that, then you're like, okay, thanks. I don't think you're my spirit guide. I wish you all the best. Goodbye. And then you move on. So yeah, be practical about it, just like you would with a person. You don't immediately invite them into your house. You have a chat in the street. You go for a coffee with them. So you take it slow.
I know that this is helpful for so many people. Thank you so much for this. I think that before we go, I think that it's important that, because a lot of people are wanting to know, being that, as you said, that your direct relations wouldn't necessarily be your spirit guide, is there a difference in reaching out and communicating with family members who you know who have transitioned versus the spirit guide connection that you're talking about?
No, there's no difference in how you connect. It's more that So when I talk about spirit guides, there's also two different kinds, in the sense that you have your main guides that are with you your entire life. That's kind of like your core team, if you will. And these are the ones that stay with you from birth until death. And so if someone has been in human form here, they can't be your main guide because they haven't been with you your entire life in spirit form. But, and then you also have the obviously like pets that have passed away, parents that have passed away. You talk to them exactly the same way as your spirit guides, and they can also guide you. They're just not your main guide. And then you also have the ones that I call this experts. And so these are the ones that come and go. And so, for example, if you go through a divorce, and then an angel might come in to help you heal your heart and like get you ready to open your heart again. And then when you're done and you're ready to go out there and not grieve that relationship anymore and you've healed from it, then that angel will leave. So they're not your main guide. They're an expert that comes in to help you with a certain time in your life, a problem that you have, that kind of thing. But the way you communicate with them is all, for all of them, the same.
I think that this is such an important conversation, and I love that you do this work. Thank you for sharing with us a bit of the window in you beginning and how to continue to do this work. Before we go, actually, I have a personal question. Is the work that we're seeing there, is that some of your artwork that we're seeing, or no?
Wait, no, it isn't. No. Okay. I love it. It's okay. A stag, but no, it's not mine.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, my beautiful sister. I adore you and I love your work. Please let people know how they can go deeper on this work and on this path with you.
Sure. So if you guys want to know which type of spirit guide you have, there's two ways. One is very easy. You go to thespiritguidequiz.com, and there's a quiz that you can take, and it will tell you the answer 11 questions, and it will tell you which of the seven types of guides you have. Or you can just listen to your intuition, because your intuition never lies. And if you've always felt drawn to, let's say, nature spirits, then these are your main guides. It's as easy as that. But you can still take the quiz if you want, thespiritguidequiz.com. I'll stay in touch with you through emails. And obviously, you can also read my book, The Seven Types of Spirit Guide, also published by Hay House.
Yes, yay. Well, this was wonderful. Thank you so much, Goddess. And I want to just let folks know there's also a quiz specifically associated with this deck around which ancestral guide, which is your main ancestral guide. I think that it would work well with her quiz as well. So I think, you know, definitely take both, get her book, get all of the information that you can, and then begin these relationships. It is an active process and an important one. Thank you so much, my beautiful sister. Have a wonderful rest of the week, and thanks for coming to hang out with me.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.